The title of my message tonight is, What is Faith Anyway? So I want to ask you, you guys know I like to ask you questions. Do you believe that every person in the world has some type of faith? How many of you believe yes? Every single person in the world has faith. Raise your hand. How many of you, okay, hands down. How many of you believe that there are people in the world that do not have faith? Put your hands up. Hands back down. Do y'all want to know what I think? Or what I know? I know for a fact every person in this world has faith. But that doesn't mean they have faith in God, but they have faith. I know, it's kind of a trick question, but it's okay. Not everyone has faith in God, but I can prove to you every person has faith. Every one of you in this room have faith. Do you know how I know it? Every one of you came in, and when I said, you may have a seat, you guys were not checking out the chair to make sure it was going to hold your weight. You just sat down. You had faith that that chair would hold you up, right? Yes. That's a simple form of faith, but you had faith that the chair was going to hold you. How many of you have faith that when you get in your parents' car to go to the mall and they tell you they're going to take you to the mall, you have faith that they're going to take you to the mall? And that's when you really get spiritual and you begin praying, oh God, please let them buy me those kicks today. Right? Yeah, some of you, you're like, mm-hmm. Okay. So what is faith? Raise your hand. Somebody tell me. What? Raise your hand. I'll call on you. What do you believe faith is? All right. What is faith? You have to speak on the mic.
Okay. Faith is like believing that like something's going to happen or like something is there, like something's going to like protect you or like, you know, just believing in something basically. Yeah.
Just believing in something. Thank you, Gemini. So when I looked up the definition of faith, this is what it said. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So faith, you guys, is simply trust. What is faith? Trust. Simply trust. That's right. All right. So what is faith when it comes to God? Thank you, Jeremy. Simply trusting God. All right. Hebrews 11:1 says, and we did have the notes, but because the computer crashed, I'm sorry, we lost all that. So you just have to believe me. Did anybody want paper to take notes? Some of you do. Okay, Jonathan, there's paper and pencils right here. Can you give paper and pencil to those that want to take notes quickly? Thank you. I'm sorry, we should have taken care of that earlier. All right, so Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically, you guys, let me read that again because some of you are wanting to take notes. I'll wait just a second while he passes out the paper and pencils. Okay. All right, so Hebrews 11:1, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you guys, faith in God begins by believing that God is who He says He is, and God will do what He says He will do. So what is faith in God? Believing that God is who He says He is. Can you guys say that with me? Faith in God is believing that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do. That's trusting God. When you believe that He is who He says He is and He will do what He says He will do. Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 20, if you have faith as small as, can anybody tell me as small as what? A mustard seed. Some of you are probably like, what does a mustard seed look like? You see how tiny that mustard seed is? It's like the smallest of seeds. By the way, I have a pack of these for every one of you to take home tonight. Not to grow, but as a reminder of your faith in God. See how tiny these little seeds are? You can't see it? Well, you'll get a pack. They're tiny, tiny. The Bible says you have to have faith the size of a mustard seed. So is this mustard seed big? No. It's an itty bitty tiny, tiny seed. Can anybody tell me? Does anybody know much about the mustard seed? They make liquid mustard from mustard seed, from the yellow mustard seed, yes. Mustard is a condiment you put on hamburgers and hot dogs. I know I'm being goofy, but... Okay, so the mustard... What were you going to say, Sam? Exactly. The mustard seed begins really, really... It's like one of the smallest seeds, if not the smallest seed. And when you plant it in the ground and you have to water it, it takes a while before it starts to grow. And it sometimes feels like, man, is the mustard seed going to ever grow? Is the plant going to ever come? And you keep watering it daily, taking care of it. And before you know it, a seed sprouts and it begins to grow. And then one day you go out to your garden and it has become the biggest plant, almost like a tree, like a huge tree in your garden. And the branches are so strong that birds come and perch in its shade. So the Bible says you've got to have faith the size of a mustard seed. It doesn't say you have to have faith in God the size of a full-grown mustard seed plant. It says you have to have faith the size of that little bitty seed. But the important thing is, if you will believe in God, that God is who He says He is, He will do what His Word says He will do, that you are who God says you are. And by the way, that's one of the reasons we take our spiritual meds every week, because we want you, we want us to get inside of us who we are to become as young people of God. Amen? Because we are faith-filled, life-speaking, God-honoring, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Who are we? Faith-filled. That's right. That's who we are. It's who we are becoming. The more that you water and take care of your mustard seed, the more that it grows. So young people, the more that you spend time reading God's Word and thinking about what you've read, guess what? The more your faith is going to grow. So if it only takes a little seed to have faith in God and to do great things, can you imagine the kind of things you can do as your faith begins to grow? Years ago, I prayed for the gift of faith. And I truly believe God's given it to me. That does not mean that I'm some super spiritual hero. I'm no different from you. But God has said He will give gifts to all of His children. By the way, is everybody in this world His children? No. No. Everyone in this world is God's creation. Ah. But not everybody is God's child. God created the world. God created the heavens and the earth. God created every person. But He created them with a free will to choose to live for Him or to live for the devil. So I hear people all the time. Someone the other day just said to me, "Oh, well, we're all God's children." No, we're not. No, we're not. You are not God's child unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So a lot of people, you know, they want to understand God completely, because how can they believe in God if they can't really understand Him? But I'm going to tell you something. I do not understand how a huge several-ton airplane full of people can lift up off the ground and fly to Colorado. I don't understand how it works, but I know that it does. And I will board a plane Friday morning to fly to Colorado to see my kids and my grandbabies. I don't understand how it works, but it doesn't keep me from trusting. I know the pilot knows what he's doing, and I trust the pilot to get me safely to Colorado. I don't understand, young people, how prayer works, but I know that it does. And I know that God, my pilot, is going to get me safely where he wants me because I trust him. What is faith? It's trust. I completely trust God with my life. Have I arrived? Am I the perfect Christian? No. No. I'm a work in progress. You are a work in progress. But that's the key, y'all. You need to be working in progress, growing in your faith, talking with God every day about the good things, the bad things, the things that upset you. You need to be reading his word. I want to encourage you when you're going through a situation. Maybe, how many of you, we all have different things we battle with. But how many of you, sometimes you battle with anger? Just be real. Raise your hand. You battle with anger. Okay? So I want to encourage you. If you are going through struggle with anger, why don't you look up anger? Google, what are some good scriptures on anger? And find a verse that really speaks to you. Memorize it. Learn it. And believe it. Meditate on it. Think on it. And realize God can help you with your anger issue. If you're going through some other situation, find a scripture. And claim that scripture. Hold on to it. The other day I told the Lord, God, I need a word from you. And I found it kind of funny because he gave me one of my favorite scriptures, but then he went on. He told me in my heart, I knew he was saying in my heart, Jeremiah 29:11. And I was like, yes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I'm like, yes, I like that. And he says, but what do I say after that? If you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I really felt like God was telling me, it's time for you to spend some concentrated time seeking my face. Really, really seeking my face, and I will guide you. That's my word I'm standing on right now. So I encourage you guys, find a scripture. If you can't find one, ask me. Ask Miss Catherine or Miss June Ann or Jonathan, any of us. We will help you find a scripture that you can stand upon for whatever situation you're going through. Because we want you to grow in your faith. So I do trust God. I do have faith in God. And you guys, when you get to the place where you go, okay, God, I'm asking you to order my steps. You lead and guide and direct me. You take me wherever you want to take me. And I'm learning, and for the most part, and I would hope by this time in my life, I would really believe and understand God really does order my steps. So 6 years ago, I was on a road trip. I actually flew to Baltimore, Maryland, and met one of my dearest friends in Baltimore. And we drove from Baltimore all the way to Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, you talk about fun. We stopped in different places. And I mean, it was a fun, I don't know if you guys have ever been on a fun road trip. It was a fun road trip. We went shopping. We did all kinds of things. And we were going to take several days to get back. And we did take, I think we ended up taking 7. We were going to take about 10. But on Saturday morning, my friend, her husband called her and said their dog that they'd had for 17 years was really, really sick. And she knew the dog had cancer. And the vet said, we really need to put him down. And she looked at me and said, would you mind if we just drive hard and get home so I can see my dog before we put him down? And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. I understand, you know, a dog's like family. So instead of deciding to get back on Wednesday, we got back Saturday night. Remember, God orders our steps. Sunday morning, early that morning, my cell phone rings, and it was my mother. And she said, Jan, Your brother died this morning. My only brother, he died of a massive heart attack. We were not expecting him to die. He was 53 years old, my older brother. And I was stunned. But the first thing I thought about is, Lord, you're ordering my steps. We're already back. Because I would have not have left my friend in Texas and me hopped a plane and her have to drive all the way back to Arizona by herself. I would have not have left her alone like that. And God knew. He got us back. He used the situation of her dog to get us back so that I could hop a plane immediately to go to Ohio to my brother's funeral. But let me tell you how else God orders our steps. I prayed, God, help me get a good flight. Help me to just get there without any issues. But you order my steps. You plan who's going to sit beside me. I pray that every time I fly. So I get on the plane. I fly to Chicago. And I'm in Chicago. And I go where my connection flight is. And they're like, we've delayed your flight. Now, your first thought when you hear that is, you got to be kidding me. But I thought, okay, Lord, I ask you to order my steps. You've got this. I'm not going to worry. And then about an hour later, they announced, we've now canceled your flight. I went up to the desk and I was like, oh my goodness, my brother died and I've got to get to his funeral. And what are we going to do? And they said, well, we're so sorry. The pilot got really sick. And I looked around and I saw the pilot coming off and he looked deathly ill. Can I just tell you, I was like, thank you, Jesus, that pilot was not flying my plane. God orders our steps. Okay, so then I had to get another connection, and I went over to where to wait in the waiting area for my next connection, and this loud, obnoxious girl who had been drinking was over there, and she was just yelling and rah, 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 and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I hope she's not going to be on my flight. Guess what? Yeah, she was. And then as I sat down in the back of the plane where they had me and I had to pray, oh, God, don't let me get sick and take air sick pills and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm back there and I'm like, oh, Jesus, please don't let her be the one to sit beside me. She's so loud and obnoxious. You already know who came and sat right beside me, the obnoxious girl who had been drinking. And she says, don't worry about me, honey. I don't talk to nobody when I fly. I'm scared of flying, and I just go to sleep. Do you think she went to sleep? Not one wink of sleep. No, her and her loud mouth obnoxiousness began to talk to me. Do you see how God orders our steps? The young lady began to share about her life with me. Whose life do you think I shared with her? I talked to her about Jesus. She was in her early 20s. In fact, I believe it was her birthday that day. And I said, baby girl, do you have a praying mama? And she said, no, I don't. But I have a praying grandmother. And I said, sweetheart, do you see how much God loves you? My flight was canceled so that I would be on this plane at this moment, sitting here beside you to tell you God has great plans for you and he loves you and he's not angry with you. God wants you to have a relationship with him. Y'all, when you trust God, because I'm going to tell you, years ago, I would have been angry. I would have been so frustrated. I can't believe this. I got to get to, my brother died and now this is going. That's how I would have been several years ago. I'm just being honest. I would have been so angry. I would have been so frustrated. But I've learned the secret to trusting. When you ask God to order your steps, he does. You can trust to know he loves you so much that when it looks like you don't understand what's going on, you don't have to understand it. You have to know that God has your back. You see, young people, God sees the big picture that we cannot see. God knew that young lady needed to hear about him. So when I arrived in Ohio at the airport, what do you think was going on with my luggage? It was not there. And I'm like, oh, great. I have no luggage. I have no dress to wear to my brother's funeral. okay, Lord, you've ordered my steps so far. I'm going to trust you. So again, I went up to a desk and I spoke to them and they said, ma'am, and I told them, I said, look, I'm here for my brother's funeral. I really need my luggage. If there's any way you can get it. And they said, we will do whatever we can to try to find your luggage. Give us your address, where you're staying tonight, and we'll do everything we can to make sure when you wake up in the morning, your luggage will be outside your door. And it was. But I believe it was a test. God was testing me to see, was I going to like blow it and be like, I can't believe my brother died and then my plane got canceled and then I have the obnoxious girl sitting beside me and now you lose my luggage. What kind of testimony would I have been to that girl? Well, see, I have to tell you this too. Because she'd been drinking, I don't know if y'all have ever been around anybody that drinks, but sometimes, not everyone that drinks, I guess, I don't know. But sometimes when people drink, they can get really loud. And because she was so loud, everybody around us was leaning in, not to hear her. They could hear her loud and clear. But they were leaning in to hear what I was telling her, how I was responding to her. In fact, when I stood up to get off the flight, a few different people were like, oh, my word, you were amazing with that girl. But I'm going to tell you guys, it wasn't because I was amazing. It's because Jesus is amazing. So, y'all, when things happen that you don't understand, instead of getting angry and irritated and frustrated and just like, just say, okay, God, what do you want me to learn from this? You order my steps. So if you don't pray that now, I want to put it in your heart. I want to encourage you. If you're taking notes, write this down. To begin to pray, God, please order my steps according to your divine will. But you got to remember you prayed that, and you've got to remember he is ordering your steps. So when things don't go the way you want them to, it's really okay because he sees the big picture. Amen? But y'all, I got to tell you, I haven't totally arrived with this attitude thing. Just a few days ago, I was in a situation, and y'all, I got an attitude. I don't think the people around me knew it, but I knew it in my heart, and my husband knew it because I let him know it. He wasn't the one that caused me to get an attitude, but I was like, I cannot believe, and I'm so frustrated. I can't believe this, and I can't believe that. And then it's like God checked my spirit and said, what is wrong with you? And I was like, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because, y'all, what happens when you get a stinky attitude? I'll tell you, it messes up your day. And it messes up people around you's day. It really does. And I had to choose, give in to my frustration, give in to my irritation, or get over myself. And the Lord really spoke to me and said, you need to get over yourself. So I had to ask for his forgiveness, and I'm so grateful. And I want to share that with you because I don't want you guys to be like, oh, well, when I'm ancient like Pastor Jan, then I can have trust and faith in God. No, it's not about an age thing. It's about trusting God right where you're at, right now, in whatever situation you may face. So why do we need faith? Can anybody tell me? Josh, why do we need faith?
To not get angry.
To not get angry? Somebody else, why do we need faith? Nathaniel. So that we know God's going to work it out. That those things are true. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, write down Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God if you don't have faith in him. Samuel. Sorry, son. Yeah, when you go to church, you should come to church. You should come to youth group, go to church on Sundays. You should come expecting to meet with God. expecting that He wants to work in your life. But not only that, you should come ready to worship Him. That's good. Thank you, Sam. Okay, so it also says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, but it also says God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. Those who go after God, God rewards them. And y'all, there is nobody that can reward you greater than God. Amen? You want His kind of rewards. So what is the best way to build our faith? I have three things. But somebody tell me, what's the best way? What do you think is the best way to build your faith? Brianna.
Prayer.
Nathaniel? I mean, Sam, why do I keep doing that? Because you guys are always together. You build your faith by using it and showing it, okay? Yes, David.
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible? What were you going to say?
Can you say it in the mic? Yeah. You can build it by, dang it.
Okay, say it quick.
You could build it by like having like conversations with Him, I guess. No, I don't know.
All right. So let me quickly share with you what I put, the best way to build your faith. Number one, if you're writing, taking notes, reading God's Word and really thinking about what you've read. Reading God's Word and thinking about what you've read. Y'all, I would rather you read 3 or 4 scriptures a day and really think about that than read 5 chapters a day and you're clueless as to what you read. Reading 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 verses and really thinking on those verses is so much better than just reading several chapters and then you're like, okay, well, I check mark in heaven because I read my Bible and you really weren't even paying attention. So if you want to build your faith, you need to read the Word and think about what you're reading. Number two, remembering when God has answered prayer in the past and thanking Him for it. Why does that build your faith? Why do you think it builds your faith to remember how God answered prayer in the past? Nathaniel, the real Nathaniel. To give you faith for the next thing you need to believe God for. That's exactly right. Y'all, there's times when I need a certain thing to happen. When I've been praying for things for Lighthouse Youth, I remind God, God, do you remember back when we had, this is way back to Club Eternal days, back in Arizona when I was a youth pastor in Morenci, Arizona. Our youth ministry was called Club Eternal. And I remember we needed a refrigerator so that we could keep drinks and Snicker bars and things like that to be able to sell to the youth before and after youth groups so we could help raise money that way. And I was like, God, we don't have the money to get a refrigerator, but I'm asking you to provide it. And guess what? I told God, but I didn't tell a bunch of people. And then we went to have a garage sale to raise money, and somebody brought a refrigerator for the garage sale. And I said, you brought this for us to sell, but we've been praying for a refrigerator for the youth. Can we have it? And they're like, absolutely you can. We needed a second van for our youth ministry. And we began to pray, and we're like, God, we don't have a lot of money to get a second van, but we need one. Would you provide one? And bam, like that, we got a second van. So when I need things, we need things for Lighthouse Youth, sometimes I'll say, God, remember when? When I was a youth pastor for the youth zone in Memphis, Tennessee, we did not have in our youth room, we did not have a video projector so you could see things on the screen. And I prayed and I was like, God, help us raise money so we can get. And back then, y'all, they were like, the one we bought was $3,600 for a small one that they were just, because they were new and it was really outrageous. But I prayed and I believed that God would do it. We had a garage sale and we raised the money to get the video projector. So y'all, I'm telling you, when you do that, it does exactly that. It builds your faith to remember, if he did it then, he can do it now. I used to sing a song as a solo years ago, he'll do it again. So y'all, not only do we need to read the word and remember it, not only do, and believe it, not only do we need to do that, we need to remember when God has answered prayer. And the third thing is remember that God sees our future and he knows what is best for us. Amen? Does God always answer prayer? If you think no, raise your hand. Does God always answer prayer? Okay? If you think yes, raise your hand. I'm here to tell you God always answers prayer. He does, every single time, and I can prove it. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he says, I will if you will do this. So yes, God does answer prayer. He doesn't always answer prayers the way we expect him to, the way we want him to. But you've got to remember, young people, God answers prayer because he sees the big picture. He knew you before you were born. He knew you in your mother's womb and he knows you into eternity. He sees where you're going to be at in 5 years. He knows who you will marry. He knows what kind of job you'll have. He sees the big picture. So you can trust him. When you pray, you can trust that he will hear, he will answer. But you've got to trust that he's going to do what is absolutely best for you. It's just like if you had a little brother or a little sister and they were 2 years old and you had a gas stove and the flames were going and the little brother or the little sister's like, oh, they're just amazed by that pretty bluish fire on the stove and they go to touch it. Are you going to let them touch the fire? No, because you love them. You know if they touch that fire, it's going to burn their hand. You're not going to let a two-year-old, if you have half a brain, you would not let a two-year-old play with lit firecrackers. Why? Because you're a mean big brother, a mean big sister? No, because you already know they could blow off their hand or it could explode in their face and blind them. It could do all kinds of damage to them. Does that make you a bad or mean big brother or big sister? No, it makes you a loving big brother or big sister. So sometimes God tells us no. It's not because he's being mean. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he loves you so much. He sees the big picture and he's looking out for your best interest. He wants what is best for you. Y'all, please remember, having faith in God is about relationship with God. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, I prayed about that. The only time they talk to God is when they have a crisis in their life. Can I tell you, God is not a candy machine in the sky that you put your little dollar prayer in and hope he will pop out your little answer? Recently, someone said to me, I looked at him and I said, are you okay? And they said, no, my head hurts so bad. I said, do you want me to pray for you? And they said, no, it won't work because I already prayed for myself all morning. I said, let me pray for you anyway. And they go, okay. And I prayed the prayer of faith over them. But here's the situation, y'all. You got to understand, God honors those who have relationship with him. The prayers of a righteous person, that means somebody who's living for God. That does not mean a perfect person, but someone who is striving to walk in obedience to God's Word, to spend time with Him on a daily basis, reading and thinking about what His Word tells you and obeying it, talking with God every day. That is a righteous person. But people that only call on God when they've got a crisis, that's not a true relationship. That's called usership. Brian, how would you like it if the only time I ever spoke to you is when I needed you to take out the garbage for Lighthouse Youth? Brian, hey, how you doing? Can you go clean the game room for me, buddy? Hey, Brian, good to see you again this week. How about going and serving in the kitchen? Hey, Brian, look, my back really hurts. How about giving me a shoulder massage? Hey, Brian, I need some money. Can you loan me some money for my... How would you feel if that's all I ever wanted is what I could get out of you? Would that be true relationship? No, it would not. You would feel like, oh my goodness, all my youth pastor cares about is what she can get out of me. She doesn't love me. She doesn't care about me. She doesn't care about my needs. All she wants is, well, what I can do. I could sweep the gym for her. I can take out the garbage for her. She could care less about me. Is that how you would feel? Yeah, I think you would. If I always just wanted stuff from you and never, like, ask you how you doing, good to see you, but all I wanted was what you could do for me, you would start feeling like all I did was use you. Yeah. Don't look at nobody. Don't point to nobody. But have you ever had a friend that all they ever wanted you for is when they needed something? Is that a true friend? No. It hurts. Y'all, can you imagine how God, our Father, feels if the only time we call on Him is when we need something? I would imagine it would hurt His heart. Does He love us? Absolutely. But He wants relationship. Don't think of God as just what I can get from Him. When you come to youth on Wednesday nights, when you go to church on Sunday, you need to be going with God, what can I give to you in worship? I love that when we pass the offering can or hat or Jonathan's shirt, whatever we have for the night, I love that I see a lot of y'all are starting to dig in your pockets and you're giving. Some of you, maybe you can only give a nickel or a quarter or a dime, but some of you are putting dollar bills in. Some of you are putting $2 and $3 bills in. You know what? Because of you, we have the type of youth ministry that we have. There are times that we have to pay for the food on Wednesday nights. There's times that we have to pay for the gas in the van. But because of you guys, you believe in Jesus and you believe in this youth ministry. You give of your time. You give of your finances. And I truly believe this Lighthouse Youth Ministry is going to continue to grow. I know we're on the summer slump where everybody's out on holiday right now visiting grandma or auntie or whoever. But you know what? When school starts, the crowd's going to pick back up. Not because I go out and get the kids, not because Jonathan and Alex and Leah and Miss Catherine and Julianne are calling kids going, oh, please come to Lighthouse Youth. We don't even do that. Why has this youth group grown? Because y'all have taken ownership and you see that we love you here and that Jesus loves you and you bring your friends because you want them to know Jesus. I'm so proud of you guys. You guys are awesome. You are rising up to be amazing, bold young men and young women for Jesus Christ. I believe when school starts, you guys are going to be more radical for Jesus than you've ever been. You're not going to be afraid when somebody says, oh, look, it's a Bible thumper. You bet I am. God has changed my life. Y'all, when you really, really go into your faith, believing that God is who He says He is and that you are a faith-filled, life-speaking, God-honoring, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, you refuse to hold on to bitterness. You refuse to hold on to anger. You choose to love people even when they do you wrong. That's who you are becoming, amazing young men and young women of God. And you make it fun to work with. You guys are awesome. I want to share one more scripture with you. Romans 8:9 says, "You, however, are controlled not, you being Christians, not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you." You see, young people, the Holy Spirit of God, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you surrender your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and helps you to do right. When you accept Jesus Christ, you were going this direction. But once, young men, young women, you accept Jesus, you turn, you do a 180, and you go the other direction. You leave your sinful ways in the past. And if you're not sure if some of the things you're doing are pleasing to God, ask Him. He'll show you. If there are certain things you're doing that you're like, I'm not sure. I promise you, if you ask God, He'll make it very clear to you whether you should do something or not. It's a knowing in your heart. I'm not going to say who, and I don't want them to say who, but I'm so pleased. One of our Lighthouse young people shared with me. They said, you know, for the summer, I've let go a lot of media because I want to focus more on God. I want to challenge more of you. Maybe some of you need to get off Facebook for a while. Maybe some of you need to get off Twitter or Snapchat or whatever it is. Some of you maybe want to consider, don't have a heart attack. You will survive. Maybe some of you need to lay aside playing video games for a season to spend more time with God, to get closer to Him. There's nothing wrong with getting on social media from time to time. There's nothing wrong with playing clean video games from time to time unless it becomes your God. If you live, sleep, eat, drink video games, it's become a God to you. If that's all you think about, all you want to do, or social media, or something else, that's what has become your God. Don't allow any of those things to be your God. If it means you get rid of it, then get rid of it. I promise you, young men, I promise you, young women, it's well worth it to go after God with everything. Would everybody bow your heads? We're going to pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your word says the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And God, I thank you that when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, your precious Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And your Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us, oh God. Help us, Jesus, to be faithful. To honor you with our lives. Help us not to allow any other gods in our life, that you will be the one true God in our life. Help us to make wise choices with what we do, what we watch, where we go, what we listen to, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet. I want to ask you tonight, Just the keys, please. Just the keys. I want to ask you tonight, is there anything that's keeping you from really being the young woman or the young man of God that God's calling you to be? I want you to answer that to yourself. Right now, in your mind, I want you to think about it. Is there anything that's keeping you from being the young man or young woman of God that God really wants you to be? And if that is the case, and you're thinking, yeah, there is, but I don't want that to be the case anymore, I want you to, if that's sincerely how you feel, I want you to surrender your heart to Jesus. Maybe you have been surrendered before, but you've kind of gotten away from your relationship with God and you want to make a fresh commitment. I want to encourage you to do that right where you are. Just play softly, please. every head bowed, every eye closed. Talk to God right where you are. And if you need to make a fresh commitment or a first-time commitment, you'd say, Pastor Jan, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Would you commit your life to Jesus? All you got to do, you can say it quietly, is tell Him, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my life and help me, Jesus, to be fully committed, fully surrendered to You. Help me not to allow video games or a job or anger or anything to keep me from following You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask those of you that you've either made that commitment or you're already committed, but you want to start right now getting closer to God. I want to encourage you to make these steps up here, an altar or down in front, and I want you to come and kneel and talk to God. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else tonight to pray for you. You talk to God. Come on. You want to say, by coming and by kneeling and praying, you're stating, I want to do whatever I can to get closer to God, whatever that means. It's not saying that you're a rank heathen. It's not saying that you've backslidden. It's just saying, from this night forth, I'm making a commitment to really be faithful to God. By His help, I want to allow His Holy Spirit to dwell within me and to guide me into being the amazing young woman or young man of God He's calling me to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to lay the microphone down because I am going to find a place to pray because I want to make a fresh commitment to God tonight.
I surrender.
sing that again? Can we sing that?
I surrender.
Make that your prayer tonight. Let's do it one more time. I want to encourage you guys to get out of your comfort zone and sing out. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't be worried about whether you can sing great or not. It's not about that. It's about saying, you know what, God, I care about you more than I care about anybody else. Let's do it together.
I surrender.
I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender.
Take it a step further. Can you just close your eyes and just for a minute forget about everybody else? Raise your hands up to God as your sign of surrender and sing this out to Him. Hallelujah.
I surrender.
Put them up high. Come on, guys. Put those hands up. Look up to Father God. Sing it to Him. I want to know you more. I surrender.
I surrender.
I want to know you. Pray your blessings upon every Christian in this house. Lord, I just pray, oh God, that you would put such a hunger in each one of our hearts to know you more. God, give us a passion to read your word, to learn it, to memorize it, to obey it, to walk in faith, knowing that we can trust you, God, that you are who you say you are. You do what you say you will do, and I am who you say I am by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Lord, I declare over these young people blessings. God, a Holy Ghost hunger to know you, to live for you, to make a powerful impact in their home, in their schools, in their neighborhood, in this youth group, in our church, oh God. In the name of Jesus. I just sense in my spirit there's someone here, maybe a couple of you, that you're scared to really surrender to God because you're afraid that He'll take away your dreams. I want to tell you something. God is the dream giver. God places dreams in you. If He places a dream in your heart, you don't have to be afraid of Him taking it away from you. God will see it come to fruition. If God has put that dream in your heart, you'll go after Him. His blessings will follow you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord, for every young person here. Thank you for our amazing youth staff that love you, God, and love these young people, Father. Lord, I pray you would take everyone home safely tonight. Bring them back safely to church on Sunday and on Wednesday, Lord God. And may their light so shine before men that they would draw all men unto you. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.